What do you want me to talk about? Well, where we're at.
Yeah.
We're tucked in a corner. There's...
So it makes me think about when you're out in the field and, like, you have to get out of the tractor and get behind the tires to kind of do your business. That's kind of where they have us right now, in the bathroom.
But this tractor has cameras, so we can't do that. I did a demo with a guy on an X9, and when I was out in the field, I was flying my drone, right? And I was... They had stopped the combine, so I just... My drone was just flying, just hovering, and it was pointing at the combine. And I was talking to the guy that was running the grain cart, and then I wasn't really paying attention, and they were changing operators. Apparently, the guy that was in the cab went and, you know, peed behind the track on the combine. And then he comes up to me afterwards, and he goes, well, you didn't get that on video, did you? And I was like, well, it's not going to make the final cut if I did. So, and he goes, well, as long as I don't have to hear about it on the podcast. And now here I am talking about it on the podcast.
Here we are. Everything comes around full circle at some point.
Sorry. So I think we should just start the podcast.
Roll that beautiful bean footage. I don't know. What does Jensen say? I don't
know. He says that, yeah, the Bush's baked bean slogan. Oh, I found the button. Welcome to Everything Ag. And then some, presented by Kibble Equipment. A frequently fun, usually informative, and always tangent-filled look at the industry that feeds the world. From cutting-edge John Deere technology to the impact of social media on the agriculture industry, no topic is off-topic. So we're here at Commodity Classic, which is also John Deere product launch for 2025. So there's a lot going on here, and so we obviously wanted to bring the podcast down. Unfortunately, Sammy J has to stay home and do his job, but we have me, Kibble Man Sam, Boss Man Chris, I'll just say it for you. Margo is here again, and you're getting very close now to Jacket.
Five-timer
yes.
Club.
Yep.
Now.
You're three now?
This will be the third one.
This will be three. You're getting close.
The charm.
And then yep. We have a guest from John Deere, who is also my former boss, and I'd like to think that I propelled you to the heights that you are today. Nate Kramer, or Nathan Kramer. Should we go Nathan Kramer?
Let's keep it unofficial.
Mr. here. Nathan Kramer, DDS. Ooh. Aren't you a dentist?
Esquire.
The third. Nate, you are the product marketing manager for Harvester, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm glad I did not screw that up.
So look how far Nate has come, because Chris and I both started with him.
That's yeah. The truth.
And here we are.
This is a family reunion.
Yes, no, it
I'm
is.
Still yeah. Doing kind of the same gig for a long time.
So,
but I love what I do.
So what year did you start with John Deere?
So I started in 2000 as a part-time student employee, full-time 2003.
Three.
Okay.
So when you got up and did your presentation, which we'll talk about the combines, I'm 45 now. How old are you?
I just turned 44.
44. So you
he
got
just
up and
turned. You, he's younger than you.
And you just did a fantastic like job. And I'm like, oh, that little guy grew up. And he's only a year younger than me.
He's 1 year younger than us.
Well, in fairness, you took me under your wing in Wisconsin, Chris.
Yeah.
So I remember those days. Learned yep. a lot. So you are a father figure, you know?
It's the hair.
So we've got you here because there's a pretty exciting product launch, especially as it comes to not only the X9, because there's some new technology updates for the X9, but there's a brand new model that just got released, the S7. Now, people are familiar with the S700 series, right? The S7, 70, 780, 790. But this is now kind of following the modeling number of the X9. So it would be the S7 and then the S7 700, the S7 800, 900. And I'm going to try to make as many space jokes as I can because we're in Houston. And the marketing team for this show really laid into the space thing with the product launch. So tell me why the S7 series is light years ahead.
Dad joke.
So that was a great setup. And this is a really big opportunity for us. We're excited, because with the S series, it's 25 years. So if you take a look at where this journey began, it started a long time ago with the 50 series STS. And year over year, if you look at all of the updates, sometimes it was hardware, sometimes it was tech, sometimes it was both. And what's so exciting about this one is it's a significant hardware update, hence the reason for the name change, that comes with some really exciting technology that, like you said, will be offered on both this new S7 and our X9 series.
Yep. So you said 25 years?
25 years. So 1999, yep.
I believe that the 50 series STS was the second product at John Deere to have the new leaping logo. What was the first thing?
It was the 8000 series.
Nope.
I bet it was like a lawnmower.
The skid steer, because you're from Wisconsin for a while.
The spin steer lawnmower, remember that? Where it had the steering wheel.
Did you say skid steer or spin steer?
No, SST, the spin steer lawnmower.
Yeah?
Yeah. It looked like an anteater. It failed miserably.
That had the newest logo?
That got introduced
in 2000.
That was the first product that had the new logo on it, and I think the combine was the second, I think.
Could be.
I could be wrong, but anyway, I digress.
Did that have like one wheel in the back? Or?
No, it had two wheels. It was a disaster because it had caster wheels in the front, and then it was like a zero turn, and then when you're on a slope, it just like fell down the hill. a lot of pips.
A fun game to play around the table with the family is to print out or go get your coasters with all the different John Deere logos on them and like go scramble them up. Have you got like?
Oh,
you
then have the timeline?
Yeah, and then try to go do the timeline of the logo. It's very difficult to do. We've done it at employee parties and stuff at Christmas time. It's fun. It's
probably a lot of beers involved though.
Yeah.
Sorry, I totally derailed you.
That's gonna happen. It's gonna happen a lot. So get used to it. So there's an S7 600, 700, 800, 900. The 600 and the 700 will have the 9-liter engine that the S700 series had, and then the 800, 900 will have the JD14 or the 13.6 liter, which is the same engine that is in the X9.
Yeah, you almost got it.
Dang it.
The 600 and 700 actually will have an upgraded, it's a 9-liter, like what you said, but it's the Gen 2.
It's
so,
not the same
That will have a new inline after treatment and some other subtle changes as well. So in essence, we're getting new engine technology across all four of the models. The horsepower on this lineup, to your point, has remained consistent except for the S7-700. And on that specific unit, with that new 9-liter, we're giving it an 8-kilowatt horsepower increase. So you're going to have to make your conversions in your own mind there. But we will be over 400 horsepower now with the S7-700. Might not seem like a whole lot, but a few extra horsepower there, a few extra horsepower reduction with some of the residue system changes. An increased unload rate as well. I think that machine's really going to perform in a surprising way for customers that run an S770 today. It's going to be a nice upgrade for them.
Yeah, and like, you know, as far as the kilowatt conversion calculator, I have one in my head. That was really easy math for me. So hopefully everyone else listening has their conversion down.
Future Chris, insert calculation. Are we in America or are we in like...
Yeah, just call it 12 horsepower, give or take.
Oh, okay.
We'll be close. Somebody's going to call me out on that. But.
That's the number I had. I don't know about you guys. So a lot of the updates to the S7, though, outside of the engine, it's the technology that is on that combine, and those will carry over to the X9. One thing I noticed about the new automation levels that are available for the S7 is that the names are very on point. There's no gimmick to the name. They're just descriptive of what they are.
And they all end in automation.
They do.
Oh, they do. Oh.
No, but you set it up perfect. And right, we've come with some clever names it was clever. It was creative, but not necessarily as descriptive as people would say. And yeah, there's like no need to create confusion, right?
The early 2000s, everything was I.
Right.
I this, I that, I grade, I tech.
A lot of autos.
I steer.
As well.
I steer. Yeah.
But no, to your point, we've talked to customers. We said, well, I don't really know, or they've responded back. They didn't really know what that meant. And so with this new launch, it's harvest settings automation, and we are automating harvest settings. We have predictive ground speed automation, and it's predicting what the ground speed needs to be to optimize the machine form. So, yeah. To set this up, and for those that are familiar with the X9, we offered three tiers, and we started that approach in model year 21, and we're going to leverage that same approach with the new S7. And really, a three-tier approach, it gives the customer the ability to choose what tech package is right for them, so we're not forcing a massive group into a like-type tech. So, set what's right for you, and we have the ability to grow within it as well. So we'll have the select, premium and ultimate packages available in model year 25.
So I got really acclimated to the trademark names, right? It was Harvest Smart, Active Terrain, Combine Advisor. So it's kind of like the rug's been pulled out from underneath me when we start talking. And
Margo, it's change. Common language. We'll get through this.
We're all getting older, yeah. And change gets scarier.
Yeah. But Harvest Smart, formerly known as Harvest Smart, will be ground speed automation, which is what it was. And that's kind of in your base equipment, right? In that first package you talked about, Nate.
Yep. With ProDrive transmissions, yep. that'll come standard in that. Right? Yep.
Yeah, we got to call this out.
How many combines do we build without ProDrive? Do you know that number?
We're over 90%.
Yeah, I feel like
in North America.
I was surprised
with the ProDrive take rate.
I was surprised we didn't.
Somebody should get
do away with the push shift. You know, 3-speed transmission.
Do you guys call the dealer when they order that without it and say, "Are you sure?
Are you sure?"
We have to remember, right? When we look at it, the 6 and 7s, yep. The non ProDrive goes up a little bit, but it's standard on the 8, 9, and all of our
because we could use that phone call.
Yeah,
if we did order,
yeah,
we have an example of something else.
Well, we don't love
it,
the unicorns.
It also enables things like machine sync and the other shiny technology we like to showcase, you know, and show our customers as well. But.
Harvest Smart you introduced in the 60 series, 70 series,
98 60s.
Yeah,
I think
the superheroes of harvesting, right? Wasn't that the thing?
Oh gosh, your memory's better than mine. Yep. Is that it?
Yep. So what was wrong with Harvest Smart?
So it was the reactiveness of it. Harvest Smart, it's a great system. When people operate it, they see upwards of a 10% productivity gain. But I would say the smoothness of the system, it just makes them concerned, right? And sometimes if it's not operated in a way that customers feel comfortable with, they immediately turn it off. But yep. There's no debating. It had within it the ability to gain productivity for a lot of growers that maybe aren't pushing the machines as hard as they can be pushed.
I would say too, like, and I say this a lot about a lot of products now because I've been around a long enough time, but there's a precursor to a lot of the products we have now that were in the market just a little too soon. I just don't think we were ready for it yet. Like, our customers weren't ready for it yet 10 years ago because it existed. Like, iTech's a great example in tractors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You know, now we have turn automation. And those earlier versions were just a little bit more cumbersome and harder to, you know, navigate than what it is today. Or there's more, like, inputs into it now that make it operate better. It was just before its time. Like, we weren't ready, and maybe the product wasn't quite as ready as it needed to be. So now's the time.
Yeah, we're excited. 25's the year, and that's a great lead-in, right? We're going to talk a lot about harvesting specific, but we cannot forget about the harvesting-related value that comes with the G5 Advanced solution, right? You talked about it, ATTA, mm-hmm. AutoPath, Machine Sync, in-field data sharing. That's all coming in. So when you think about where we're at within model year 25 from a harvesting step, we have the large majority of that to where it could be fully automated, not autonomy, but automated, where we'll still need the operator, but we have the ability to let the machine take over a lot of
be consistent.
A lot of the steps.
Yeah, and all the processes.
So the next level was the replacement for auto maintain, right?
Nope, active terrain.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, so active terrain is now terrain settings automation, right?
Good call.
Yep.
Correct, but out of anything, right? That's going to be the one that is very similar to what customers are accustomed to. And in fairness, though, I think that's okay because from an automation standpoint, specific to harvesting, that was the highest utilized technology that we've had.
Yep.
So we didn't see a need to change it. Customers like what we have. It's a very functional automation system. It's going to come with a different name.
Yep.
To the point, it's going to be packaged a little bit differently than where it was before, where this will be coupled with harvest settings automation, but a great feature that continues to deliver for customers, and we're going to continue to offer it in 25. Yep. But with
it's,
a different name.
It's simply the same stuff, though. I mean, it's going to adjust as you go up and down a hill. It's going to manage your, you know, chaffer sieve settings and your fan speed to just eliminate or hopefully reduce grain loss out of your shoe.
Yep.
Yep. And then the next one is auto maintain. Combine Advisor. I mean, you always hit your Combine Advisor app, and then it had all these like three layers in it. And auto maintain was the last part of that. And that is going to be harvest settings automation. Makes a lot of sense. And that comes with the last package, right?
So that's going to be in the premium.
That's like in the middle package,
that's,
right?
That's
it's in
the middle. Yep. That's the middle package. Yep. And the big difference in the significant upgrade between auto maintain and harvest settings automation is the fact that it's a targetless system. You know, with Combine Advisor, auto maintain, hence the name is really descriptive, is it will maintain the level of performance that an operator sets. The challenge with that is it requires an operator with the ability to adjust appropriately, optimize the machine form, get the most out of it, and then we locked in auto maintain and it produced.
You gotta wait for that target to like calibrate in, like you'd hit the set, like you get your combine all tuned in and then you'd hit the set target button and then it felt like you were waiting forever. I know the first few combines I ever went to the field with, you were like, is this thing broke? But it just took that long for it to kind of understand what was normal based on your settings as far as loss and damage and foreign material goes.
Absolutely.
So the same three things are still looked at.
And now you set your limits instead of your targets.
That's right. And what we talked about earlier today at our launch, you're spot on. It, now that it's a targetless system, you don't need to worry about the adjustments. You truly focus on the limits, the performance limits that you talked about, Sam, and those of course are, you know, what's acceptable losses, a foreign material, broken grain, and that's the outcomes or the results that we want our operators and owners to engage with, and let the machine take care of the hundreds of adjustments, right? And that's going to help from I just feel better at the end of the day, but we're also seeing that it can produce really high quality results. Now, can an operator beat any automation system? Absolutely. But it's intense, right? You have to be on the hydro handle nonstop. So do you want to do it for the first hour? Maybe. But do you want to do it all day, all week, all month, all season? Because the automation system's working, right? And it'll continue to be happy working all the time at that max level. And that's where the value of the automation comes in, is when you turn it on, leave it on, and let it just continue to work, it creates that separation between what an operator wants to do or is willing to do versus what these automation systems can do. But I don't want to discredit any operator, because there's great operators out there that can beat a system. But the question is, do you want to continue to, and or why, right?
Well, I know if I was operating a combine this morning, I probably wouldn't have been that efficient.
It was an early morning.
You had high octane in your system.
It wasn't a late night at all, just an early morning.
I would have been very happy to turn on the automation and let it ride.
Going up and down the steps as few times as possible is ideal.
We're learning.
But then our top level of automation, which is a brand new feature, predictive ground speed automation. Now with that, you've got cameras at play, and then you've also got enhanced satellite imagery. Is that the right way to say it?
You got it. It's a double redundant system.
Enhance. Enhance.
No, it's an exclusive feature, right? That's going to be offered through John Deere. We're really excited about what it's doing. And when we think about any automation system, the input that we give it is going to ultimately determine just how effective or how accurate is the adjustments that it's making. And so with the predictive, we're truly giving the combine the ability to see what's in front of it. And that's never been done before. And there's a lot of reactive systems, ground speed automation. It's a reactive system. We've made it better with new algorithms. We're adding coverage maps in, right? But we're using the pressure sensor on the rotor. So it's reacting based on what that load is. With this predictive system, we're truly giving it the ability to see what is in front of it. And if we think about it, how has operators for the last 100 years determine the appropriate ground speed for the combine?
They look at what's in front of them.
They look in what's in front of them. And so we're giving the machine about a 30-foot view of what's happening from a standing or a down crop standpoint.
Yep.
That's one significant input that we're providing it. It's never had before. And then we're also pulling in those satellite images that you talked about. So we're going to understand what level of biomass exists in the field. And then once we get in the field and we start running crop through the mass flow sensor, we're going to convert that biomass calculation into a predictive yield result. But nevertheless, the machine is then going to anticipate what it has to deal with, what kind of power it's going to be required, and then it's going to make a more dynamic ground speed adjustment.
Yep.
And that's what's getting us upwards of a 20% productivity gain, which we're seeing being realized in a lot of different settings. So we're really excited.
And 20%, as far as time savings, is pretty significant because your harvest pass is your most expensive pass.
And lengthy.
In the field.
Yeah, that's the most time customer. Besides, you know, also, sprayers is a lot, but. Well, you had a customer testimonial today.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. He was going from a 690s to this, and so he did like a 2-week trial in beans. He had the line like, "This is like my co-pilot that's telling me what to do." Isn't there a song like "Jesus is my co-pilot" or something like that?
That's called "Jesus Take the Wheel"
Jesus by Carrie Underwood.
That is Carrie Underwood.
It's a great song.
John Deere, take the wheel. Cut that out, please.
I'd love to, but it's too good. It's so bad. I have to keep that in.
You're right. We had a chance, just to give a little bit more background on what Chris was just talking about there. We had a chance to interact with a customer from Eastern Illinois, corn soy grower, 8,000 acres, seed soybeans, runs 690s today, but we gave him one of our marketing X9 1100s, fully equipped, 2 weeks to optimize it. So he has a lot of stick time in a John Deere combine, right? He had 2 weeks in the X9. Which for sure will impact it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We also then tested with the University of Illinois, so it wasn't just us out there throwing pans and doing what we thought, right? We had a third party come in and help validate that. But, yeah, Casey realized with automation on versus automation off for multiple days throughout an entire week of testing, he realized the 19.1% productivity gain. But exactly to the point, And we're clear about this. Those levels will vary operator to operator based on their skill set, based on their ability to optimize the machine for them, right? Going back to any operator can be an automation type thing.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's producing real value. And on an X9 1100, 19.1%, that's 40 more acres per day in a 12-hour day. So tight harvesting windows, a relatively expensive per hour a depreciation schedule, getting 40 more acres with the same amount of hours put on that machine, that's real value.
Significant.
So outside of the automation features, though, we've also got brand new cab. So it's same cab as the X9. So we got the same level of technology between the X9 and the S7.
Don't forget the integrated receiver.
Of course, the integrated 7500 receiver.
And a new corner post display that both S7 and X9 customers will have. I think they'll really appreciate the updates we have there. More intuitive, more connected to the G5. So, yeah, it's more spacious. You know, we have the massaging seat. We have the heat to feet. I think we all understand the value of it, but S-Series customer didn't have that. They're going to have it now.
So we're talking a lot about new equipment, but if you currently own an S700 Series combine or an X9, we talked briefly about combine AutoTrac turn automation. Okay, that did get released in combines this fall, and I think a lot of customers may not be aware of that feature yet. So your current products, if you get your software up to date, you might have to have a visit to your John Deere dealer to do some controllers on the combine as well. But yes, you can now use turn automation like you have been on your tractor, running your planter or your tillage tool, to do automated turns on the end. You still have to raise your head, okay? So it's not automatically doing that for you, but you can make the same kind of turn every time, take that stress out of the scenario for yourself with that feature today. So something to think about for harvest of 2024.
Yeah, so fall of 23, the software bundle got released right in the middle of corn harvest.
Yeah, it was in the middle for us, and we don't have very many people that used it.
It's all Nate's fault.
No, none.
But so we got the release.
Stop, Chris.
We got the release notes, and one of the customers that is on our support line called the next day, said, "Hey, I updated the software and I'm trying this out." I'm like, "Oh, we haven't had a chance to try it yet." And
well, thank goodness for remote display access, right?
Yeah, we RDA'd. And then also, to your point, he tried it for about a half a day in corn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "I wasn't quite right, but there were some software updates for the combine." We were able to push the software updates remotely with JD Link, and he did it over his lunch break. And after that, it would work really awesome. And I just had a sit down with him this winter, and he said it was really good. Granted, the automating the header would be fun, but you got to do something when you're in the cab.
Hey, more opportunities, right?
Yeah. So.
Well, and turn only automation though is easy to set up.
Yeah, it was simple.
So
yeah.
It's really
we didn't have to send anybody to the field. We just RDA'd in, and he like bleep blop looped it, and it was working.
So I have to ask this question. So Nate used to be my boss when I was when I was tillage man, Sam. And Nate always was very, he was a rah-rah, very fired up about tillage equipment. Do you have the same fire in your belly for harvester as you do for tillage? Because I can't imagine that you could feel as strongly about combines as you do about tillage equipment.
So background story. Background story.
Let him answer.
We were grinding through some tough projects, right? And I thought the team needed a little motivation. So I went back to the high school football days, and I had a great football coach. And he printed shirts for us that said, "The fire burns within." And thinking, right, the starts of John Deere, blacksmith. Right?
Yeah.
You put two and two together, and maybe you get three, let's say. So I had to put that into a fiery PowerPoint with some real muscle-bound blacksmith picture that I saw, and I said, "Does the fire burn within?" Right, just as a little bit of a motivator. So, it makes sense.
It wasn't corny at all.
Are you? No, not at all.
Are you getting residuals from Ted Lasso?
Yeah. Hey, you gotta timestamp this. Maybe I need to get some back from him.
That's what I'm saying.
This was a good 10 years, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. he probably stole it from me.
Yeah, I mean. But I think it would hit a little differently if you had just a nice thick mustache. Just a, yeah.
I would if I could, Sam.
Just a some push, of us have just a it, push some broom out front. Would your mustache be red?
There'd
you be, know?
There'd
have
be
you tried?
Tints. There'd be, clearly I have a recessive gene since I have two redheaded beautiful daughters. So
back to combines.
Please.
There's also been some updates to headers, correct?
Yeah. I mean, 25, it's S7, the tech, and of course, the headers. So let's break that down quick. So starting with the corn heads, we're adding two exciting features, slip clutch detection. So, right, the more we improve the cab, you no longer hear the click of the clutches until it's too late. And that creates downtime, and we don't want downtime. So we're going to have slip clutch detection. It's going to indicate right away to our operators within the cab via the G5 display. And I'm excited about it, and I think it's going to show them before a downtime event occurs. So that's one of the big features we have. And then we're also coming with our ear savers, where we've had since our launch in 21, but we're going to be able to independently control the left and the right. It's by about a 10% increment to really dial in the right height based on the current crop condition. So two nice new features that we have coming with a slightly altered name and numbering on the head. So it used to be, for example, the C12F. Now it's going to be the CF12. And that aligns a little bit more with the rest of our products that we have in the ag sector. So that's on the corn head. Then on the draper, we're continuing to update the HD with a little bit more in-cab hydraulic base control of the knife. So I think customers have been asking for that quite a while. We're excited about that. And in addition, we're going to also offer a cam reel, a feature that others have had. So it's not an exclusive feature in the market, but I think for anybody that's had soybeans or whatever hitting their windshield, mm-hmm. This is where that cam reel and the way that it interacts with the crop and in the way that it puts it on the draper and kind of releases the fingers to keep it on the draper and not flicking it backwards. I think a lot of customers are going to find value in that. So we continue to offer, enhanced features for certain crop conditions that customers are going to really value. So yeah, we're going to have updates across our entire line for 25.
Well, one thing I didn't want to forget to bring up is that during a show like this, especially of this scale, there's some theming to the marketing behind it, right? And one of the things, and obviously we're going heavy on the space theme, outer space theme, rocket launch, product launch, but for you presenting, they had all the presenters today where John Deere spacesuits. You look very svelte in your spacesuit.
I'm going to assume that means handsome.
Yeah, it does.
So we are in Houston, Mission Control, I believe, is based in Houston. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we embraced the rocket launch, and I think it hit home. But to your point, and where we're taking this, yes, presenters dressed up in our flight suits, which is a European technician suit.
Yeah.
And apparently,
I wish we had those here.
Yeah. My dimensions exceed their normal sizing. So
how to scope.
Some people's suits fit better than others. So
well, because you're a taller guy.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I mean.
Let's just say in a different world, if I was presenting here and they had to find a spacesuit for me, they probably would have had to like cut two up.
you would have had a foot of leg showing. Yeah.
High water pants.
Some short pants.
Got to have the sleeves rolled up. These are called manprees.
Hey, there you go.
Just pull your socks up.
That's a European thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they kind of like that.
It's kind of a look. It's a vibe.
But those suits you guys are wearing, it like immediately, you know, some of our folks that do marketing, like I don't have an egg background, and will ask for some sort of marketing material. They're really good. But, you know, all of a sudden they'll grab some image from Europe, and it's a technician in that jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And it's like right away, God, that jumpsuit's awesome, but nobody wears that here.
Nobody wears it.
They're also standing next to their van. So how fast did you get out of that jumpsuit when you were done presenting?
Took me about 30 seconds. And the reason it took that long was I had to partially dislocate my shoulder to get out of it. But I got there.
You could hear some stitches cracking as you were trying to pull the sleeve off.
Well, I have my only intro I ever helped with was when I was a marketing rep. I helped with the 7810 IVT intro in Louisville. And they gave us Louisville Sluggers baseball bats with our names on them. And I have it hanging on my wall in my office. So
this will probably be in a dark closet, but that's okay.
He's not getting it framed in glass and mounting it on his wall.
To tip back from combines, since Nate and I have a history where he was my boss, what is a really good story that sticks in your mind from our time working together?
The good stories are the work that we did, right? It's not a funny story. It's not something that Sam did wrong. I think we had a chance to reignite the tillage masters. It was something Deer did before, but we hadn't had them for a while.
Yeah, and that was a job title.
Yep.
Was tillage master.
That's right. And you were the first wave of the next folks we brought in, and it changed the market for us. And it changed the way that we interacted with our field teams, with our dealers, and in fairness, right, it helped to grow Deer market share. So, you know, I wish I had a funny story that I could really burn you with right now, but it's a success story that bringing you in and bringing in other capable folks that were passionate and had the ability to interact with our customers, adjust the machines, get the performance that our customers are looking for, right? It led to success, and we saw great market share growth. We had good products coming, right? But we had great people to go along with it. So, you know, that's the biggest story that I had was we did great things when we were there. And
what he's trying to say in a humble way is he, in essence, created the monster that is Tillage Man Sam, or was.
Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you, Nate. It worked out. Yeah. We hired him.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yet another product before its time. You guys probably had to support AccuDepth.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. So when I was there and
or were we done with AccuDepth?
We went from AccuDepth.
Oh, we are done now.
We are done now. Yeah. But, yeah, well, we kind of aren't because we still buy it on used equipment.
Sure. We still have to, deal with it. And people like it and some people don't like it and that's fine.
Margaret and I get those calls.
Yeah. Right.
No, but it was 2014, right, mm-hmm. where we officially went from AccuDepth to TrueSet.
Right.
And think about how we're using TrueSet today. That's a key piece of, you know, tractor automation with the tillage. Mm-hmm. And so pretty exciting, again, thinking about, you know, what we did when we were there and some of the advancements in tillage. And now you see a lot of competitive brands a couple years later, right? We tend to hear that Deer is taking on what others have done, but that was years ahead of its time, but customers immediately saw the value in it, and it's continued to grow ever since. Yeah. And it's just one of those many things that it was fun to be a part of it, and customers saw the value of it, and that's the key, is producing solutions that truly add value to our customers and help them along. And TrueSet was one of a lot.
Yes.
So. Yeah, and I'm sure, there was product intros that when we introduced that and it was exciting, and just like this where we've got a ton of new things that have come for 2025, and so it's overwhelming being in this booth with all of the new equipment that is here when you look at the new 9RX to the new S7 combines, and like I know there was a lot of photos being leaked before the show, you know, where people are like, ooh, look at this, and ooh, look at this. And I don't know who, what janitor they paid off to get in here and take photos, but it was cool because people were, like, really excited. I know everybody's been anticipating this new 9RX. That's been kind of the big, you know, ooh, what's going to happen? How many horsepower is all this? But then all of a sudden people start sharing photos of this S7, and they're like, oh, man, that isn't the only thing coming. You know, we've got a lot of big things coming, and obviously – in the universe of agriculture equipment, we are really going to the moon.
Oh, Jesus.
Blast off.
That wasn't even the...
I would say we're going to continue to... We're continuing to deliver incredible machines with advanced capabilities, just like what the astronauts on Apollo 11 needed, right, to successfully launch and land on the moon.
Nobody talked about the lunar lander that tipped over this week, though.
No. We only talk success stories.
That did not have terrain settings automation. If it would have, it would have been fine.
I just want to say, you know, Super Tuesday's coming up, and you are so well-spoken. I'm going to put you in as a write-in.
Well, I appreciate that. It's fun to talk about exciting new products. It's easy to talk about it, right? And model year 25 for us, it's how are we helping our customers? The hardware updates we have, the tech updates that we have, it's not just something new. It's something that truly adds value, and it's going to help our customers manage costs, be more productive, continue to tighten that harvest window to get the crops out when they need it. And so exciting days for us. The S7 is the base, right? It's the mass as far as the volume, and we're providing our customers with a lot of the features that we've had within the portfolio, but on the X9. And so this is an exciting year. We're really, truly fired up about what we're going to be able to provide and engage with our customers on. So excited about it.
Yeah, and I'm going to vote for Nate too, under one condition, that part of his platform is that when he's doing debates and his inauguration speech, he'll wear the spacesuit.
Knew that was coming. Knew it was coming. Might be a deal breaker.
Knew the punchline before I started the joke. All right. Well, thanks, Nate, for joining us. This was fun. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at Kibble Equipment. I am at Kibbleman Sam. Bossman Chris is at Chris Horob on Instagram and at Horob on the X.
Nate, what about Margo? Are you on anything?
Well, I don't think Margo's on Facebook.
Just a mom on Facebook.
Running for school board.
Yeah. Oh, still on school board. Yep. Don't give me your school board frustrations via Facebook, by the way. That is the most passive aggressive method for getting anything done.
There you go. That was Margo's last word. Kramer, did you have any last word for our customers that will listen to this?
No, it's thank you. Right. Thank you every day for what you do. Thank you for choosing John Deere. We have to earn it every day. I know sometimes we need to push ourselves harder. We're committed to that. But with the support that you're getting from Kibble, just again, a heartfelt thank you for choosing John Deere, choosing to stay with John Deere, and looking forward to engaging with us in the future.
Well, you knocked it out of the galaxy. All right. We got to stop. Well, see you later.